Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Scales Corporation Limited Interim Results Call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Andy Borland, Managing Director. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Morning, Andy Borland, Managing Director of Scales Corporation. I'd like to welcome you to the Scales half-year results announcement for the 6 months ended 30 June 2019. With me today is Steve Kennelly as CFO. Earlier this morning we lodged our result with the NZX, which included a presentation pack that we'll base our comments on during the call. Steve and I'll run through the slides and we will then take questions. There's an agenda on slide two, so we'll cover, but starting with slide four, which provides a number of operational and strategic highlights for the group. We're delighted to report a record interim net profit of just under $122 million, which was aided by $93 million in profits and gains from our recent divestments. Our underlying EBITDA for the period was $47.3 million, which is in line with last year. Both are excellent results. Operationally, Mr. Apple's volumes were in line with last year and ahead of forecast at 3.8 million TCEs. Food ingredients performed well during a period of change, and we made good progress on our strategy refresh. More on that on the next slide, which we can turn to now. So we achieved several milestones throughout the group in the first 6 months of this year. The sale of Poltacol settled in May. We announced and established a pet food joint venture with Alliance in April, and the integration of Shelby, acquired in December last year, has progressed well. I'll provide more information on our strategy later. In the meantime, onto a short update of our sustainability activities. One of our current areas of focus is ensuring that we minimise our impact on the environment, and Karen Morrish and her team have been working hard in this area. Over the last 6 months, we've established a number of goals around how we can reduce our carbon footprint. This follows our inaugural carbon footprint calculation last year. We started to develop an environmental plan with goals that align with the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. We completed an energy efficiency audit with excellent results and been instrumental in creating a joint horticulture council waste minimisation group in Hawke's Bay. Turning to slide eight, another key focus for us is to become an employer of choice. It is especially important to us that Scales is seen as a great place to work. As a result, health and safety continue to be a top priority, and we continue to invest in a number of training schemes. We've implemented a Report It Now ethical hotline where staff can report any behaviour that they deem to be unethical, together with an ethics committee to manage any calls received. And we've made significant investment in the community living environment and infrastructure for our critical RSE scheme and seasonal workers. We're immensely proud of our staff and we want to ensure that they are looked after accordingly. I'll now pass over to Steve to discuss the financial results for the first half of the year.
Thanks, Andy. We can turn to slide 10. This summarises the profitability of the group for the first half of 2019 compared to the first half of 2018. And as Andy has summarised, it's been a busy 6 months for the group, which has resulted in a few changes to our financials. The key points of note relating to divestment and NZ IFRS changes are the settlement of Polarcold, which resulted in a gain on sale of $73 million, a total of $20.2 million in one-off gains were recognised on the sell-down of 50% of Meateor New Zealand, and this comprises a $10.1 million gain on sale of the half-share we sold, as well as a $10.1 million revaluation gain on the half-share we retained. We also implemented NZ IFRS 16 leases, which resulted in a net $400,000 decrease in after-tax profitability. And on an underlying basis, you'll see that both EBITDA and net profit are in line with the first half of 2018, with reported EBITDA and net profit significantly ahead. If you move to slide 11, you'll see a summary of our divisional performance, and all divisions display revenue growth over last year. In terms of divisional operations, as Andy mentioned previously, the Horticulture Division produced higher apple volumes than forecast, although the division experienced some mixed pricing. Overall, earnings were in line with last year. Food Ingredients benefited from a full 6 months of contribution from Shelby, together with 3 months from the new Meateor Alliance joint venture. The division was impacted by a one-off inventory revaluation of $3 million, but still delivered a strong performance. Logistics presented a result in line with last year, whilst corporate benefited from lower transactional costs than in the first half of 2018. Now, if we move to slide 12, our balance sheet. As a result of the transactional activity over the last year, our balance sheet presents an extremely strong financial position, with our net cash position having improved by just under $135 million since this time last year. And this provides us with significant leverage for future acquisitions. NZIFRS 16 has also had an impact on our balance sheet, with around an additional $80 million of assets and liabilities being recognised. I'll hand you back to Andy, who will give you a further update on each division.
Thanks, Steve. Slide 14 summarises the results of Mr. Apple's growing season. In our 2018 annual report, we noted that Mr. Apple's orchard production was likely to reduce temporarily as a result of its orchard redevelopment program. However, Andrew Van Workum and his team have delivered an excellent result by achieving own grown export volumes of 3.8 million TCEs. This is 6% ahead of forecast and in line with last year's volume, notwithstanding the redevelopment of nearly 60 hectares last winter. Export packout was also ahead of last year at 79%. Weather conditions meant that apples were slightly smaller than normal, which has driven some mixed pricing results for traditional varieties, particularly in Europe. However, premium varieties volumes continue to increase, up 11% on last year to almost 2.1 million TCEs. This includes inaugural sales of our newest brands, Posy and Dazzle. Moving on to slide 15, we remain committed to our strategy in the Asia and Middle East markets. Sales to these markets for 2019 have been very strong, with volumes well up. Sales to this region are expected to account for nearly two-thirds of all volumes sold, and prices remaining firm. The strong performance we've achieved in this market corroborates our strategy and historical investment in both orchard redevelopment and branding. It is also in part due to the ongoing support of our strategic shareholder, China Resources Nufeng. We continue to invest in premium and proprietary varieties with approximately 85 hectares of development over this winter and next. Sales to Europe are not expected to be affected beyond this current season. Europe had a particularly strong crop this season just past, which has meant a lot of fruit had to be cleared before making room for export sales. The outlook for the forthcoming European season is for a lower crop. Turning to our Food Ingredients division on slide 16, as you can see from the diagram on this slide, there has been considerable change to the media or group structure within the Food Ingredients division. As a result, we've made good progress towards our goal of creating a $25 million EBITDA division, and we continue to seek acquisitive and organic growth opportunities in this area. The graph on slide 17 shows the impact of the acquisition on Shelby on volumes sold in the first half of the year, over 56,000 metric tonnes compared to 16,000 last year. Overall, we've had a positive 6 months of trading from Shelby and have also started to benefit from the merged supply chain and customer relationships of the pet food joint venture. As mentioned earlier, the division was impacted by an inventory adjustment. We made an operational decision to purchase stock outside of normal contract terms. However, this is a one-off and no ongoing effects on forecast trading or volumes are anticipated. Profruits continue to operate well with fruit processing volumes in line with last year's and sales volumes ahead. Moving on to slide 18 and our logistics division. Logistics has traded well over the last 6 months and is slightly ahead of the comparable period last year. Balance Cargo has leased additional warehouse space in Christchurch, whilst Scales Logistics has increased resource in Melbourne. As with Food Ingredients, we continue to seek growth opportunities for this division. Moving on to our strategy, slide 20 summarises progress to date. We continue to focus our strategy on pure agribusiness, in particular with the opportunities that provide us with a sustainable and robust earnings profile. Our investment preferences include opportunities that are export-led and fully integrated. Shelby and Alliance met our strategic investment objectives and are delivering key strategic benefits to the group. We continue to review a wide variety of new opportunities, however, we're ensuring that they are assessed carefully so that our investment hurdles are met. During this period, we're keen to reiterate our dividend policy and remain committed to an annual dividend level of no less than 19 cents cash per share whilst we hold net cash. Lastly, on to slide 22 and the full year outlook. Given our first 6 months of trading for this year and forecast trading, we're pleased to reaffirm our previously announced underlying net profit guidance of between $32 million and $37 million, which correlates to underlying EBITDA of between $49 million and $55 million on a like-for-like basis. As previously mentioned, export volumes within the horticulture division are in line with last year, with Asia and the near markets showing strong demand for premium variety apples. Our orchard redevelopment program will continue to take advantage of this together with New Zealand's strong reputation in those markets. We expect it to continue to benefit from the ongoing integration of the new Medial Group, and excluding the one-off inventory adjustment, we expect full-year results for the Food Ingredients Division to be in line with forecast. Logistics is also expected to be in line with expectations. So that concludes today's formal presentations, and we're now happy to take any questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Adrian Albin with Craigs Investment Partners. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Andy and Steve.
Hey, Adrian.
I've got a few questions. Just in terms of just understanding that the inventory impact coming through Meteor, the $3 million impact, have you just buried that in your underlying 47 for the first half?
It's in the result, yeah.
Okay, so you haven't looked to adjust for it?
Sorry, how do you mean adjust for it, Adrian?
Like in the 47 underlying, does that include the inventory impact of $3 million for Meteor?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Just in terms of the second half for the horticultural business, I know that you, like, the main swing tends to be some sort of inventory valuation. Have you, I presume you've already factored in the sort of smaller size issues still to play out a little bit?
Yeah, we have. And the, I mean, the accounting treatment is we've sort of got to estimate a sale price for all of the unsold fruit, as at 30th of June. And we obviously look at the sales through right up to our audit period. So, we've got to make a assessment on, the fruit unsold from early August on.
Right, so we shouldn't see that as, you wouldn't be expecting to make a loss in the second half on that, unless that issue turns out materially worse than where you are at the moment.
No, not from the apple valuation / sales. As Andy said, we've got to use the best available information when we estimate what those sales are going to be in the half year. So we've taken that into account.
Okay, and then just also on the second half numbers for last year, I appreciate this is a bit messy because there's been a lot going on as you mentioned earlier. But was the corporate drag in the second half last year close to $6 million? Like to get back to your 49 or just short of 49 underlying EBITDA for the year?
I haven't got that number in front of me.
I added up, your first half underlying for last year was 47. You made just over $1 million in the apples in the second half, 4 in food ingredients, 2 in logistics. It looks like a $6 million sort of sort of drag to get you back to 49?
Might have to get back to you on that one, Adrian.
We'll put it another way. Are you expecting anything? Like, would corporate be sort of a $2 million drag in the second half?
The corporate second half should be pretty much the same as the first half.
Okay. No, that's fine. And then the other question, just in food ingredients, to get to the $25 million, I guess, ambition for that division, are we solving for roughly another $10 million EBITDA? Is that the right way to think about it?
About that, yeah, it could be. Yeah, that would be a, like, I guess it's going to come through an acquisition or organic. So we're sort of working on, you know, on multiple fronts, I guess, in terms of the food ingredients growth, Adrian.
And can you just, given that Shelby's obviously new to the portfolio outside New Zealand, can you just give us a bit more sort of detail on what's been going on in the first 6 months? Like, what sort of things have you been doing to make sure? Because obviously it's a good performance that's come in line with the expectations.
Well, first of all, you know, when you're buying something new and overseas, it's good to sort of see that it do what you thought it was doing. But, you know, we're collaborating closely with them with their, you know, common customers. We're working, you know, where they've got a customer that we're not with. You know, we're, you know, I guess getting introduced there. So the sort of thesis we had of working better and more strategically with the bigger USA-based customers has worked, you know, well. And we had a couple of new growth initiatives underway in Shelby now, which will, you know, be, you know, earnings accretive for next year.
Right. And is that business, like, is it seasonal at all, or...?
Not really. You know, it just, no, I wouldn't say it's a seasonal business. It's the production of, you know, if you like, the processing of pork and beef in America in the USA market is pretty reasonably steady, and that we're getting those flows.
Right, okay. So your food ingredients should be better than what you delivered in the second half last year, effectively, with the Shelby on top.
Yeah, and that, I guess the other thing to note, though, is that you know, there has been some minor impact from the trade war. The pork going to China has been full on, and we have missed out on one trade of a product, which is a pharmaceutical product, and so we've been, I guess, happy, very happy with Shelby's result, given that it was, you know, had missed out on that one trade that was a positive one, but, you know, the other business offset it.
Okay. Oh, that's good. I'll leave it for there for now. I might come back a little bit later.
Your next question comes from Guy Hooper with Forsyth Barr. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Just, I suppose, following on from Adrian, could you give us a bit more colour around, I suppose, the path from where you're at today within food ingredients to the $25 million and sort of over what kind of time frame you're thinking?
Well, as we sort of said, we continue to look for, I guess, acquisitive and organic growth. We're not sort of necessarily fixing, we'd like to get to the $25 million in, I guess, a medium term rather than, you know, next year. So it's going to be growing Shelby, growing a new joint venture here in New Zealand with Alliance, you know, continuing to strengthen our, our other markets involvements. We'd like to work with, you know, we're exploring as we speak opportunities with China Resources, pushing, you know, pet food made in, we'll probably start in New Zealand through into their China distribution network. So, you know, they are the sort of near-term, you know, opportunities that are in front of us.
Yeah, and I suppose you mentioned missing out on that one pharmaceutical product trade. Is that something new, the trade into pharmaceuticals, or was it something that Shelby was already doing?
Shelby was already doing it, and yeah, and it's just been disrupted. It's not a significant number, you know, it might be a few hundred thousand, but, you know, we were, you know, we expecting it to start up again, in the very near future, so it's going to be a positive when it restarts.
And the, I suppose the capital expenditure outlook by division over the next few years with these growing targets?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about Mr. Apple there?
Oh, well, both. Apple and Food Ingredients.
We continue to be keen to invest more, you know, directly into the both the Pet Food Ingredients and Mr. Apple. Clearly, our redevelopment, in history and prior years, moving to the redder, sweeter varieties that suit Asia have really paid off in these last couple of years, and particularly this year, our sales are growing, you know, to almost, as we say, two-thirds for these near markets in Asia.
Yeah, thanks. So I suppose just one last question from me on the investment hurdles for new acquisitions. Is that still long-term target of 15% return on capital employed, or is there additional hurdles in there?
Well, that's the overarching financial metric, I guess, but there's other hurdles around, us having an appropriate understanding of the industry, partnering with the right people, ensuring I guess that it's aligning with our, sustainability and, people cultural aspirations. So there's quite a lot of other, non-financial metrics that need to fit.
Great. Thanks, Andrew.
Your next question comes from Jack Crowley with Jarden. Please go ahead.
Yeah, morning, team. First one from me is just looking to clarify, there's a comment in the pack around expecting softer demand for traditional varieties towards the end of the season. And I guess like you made a mention to Andy, it does look like Europe phasing in at the tail end of this year will have a weaker season than they did last year. So I'm just kind of wondering how should we interpret that kind of softer demand? Is that just related to the mix story that you talked about, or kind of are you seeing other places where you think pricing's likely to be soft?
Look, Europe, we were sort of signalling Europe's, had that carryover of fruit from last season. So that's made us slower to get started. So it's a matter of, the judgment that we had to make, in our result is, to account for the full season sales. So, we think we've accounted for that softening.
Got it right. So the way we should think about this is kind of early in the year, Asia's been strong, Europe's still got a bit of an inventory hangover from last year, but then kind of very late in the piece should see the benefits from a kind of softer season this year after you've kind of worked through that market mix effect.
Yeah, but, right up till, a week or so ago, we've tried to assess what that impact's been, and it is in that, just the way the dear old accounting fraternity works, we have to account for all of those apples in the half-year result, all of the sales. So, any softening, we've tried to incorporate the tail end of the season in the result.
Got it. Understood. That's useful. And then just thinking about the EBITDA margin decline in horticulture, then obviously we can see that's kind of tracked down from around 29% to 26% this year. Is that a pricing story largely with these kind of mix effects as well as Europe inventory into the second half, or should we think about that as kind of a labour cost pressure or other kind of cost elements as well?
I think one thing you got to remember, and we mention it, is the smaller fruit size. And so, you know, that typically we get a little, you know, a better sale profile from a larger fruit, you know, count size in the box. So, you know, that I would say fruit size has been a reduction in sales per carton impact. You know, clearly we had a, you know, that helped offset, you know, so that's factored into that margin reduction, I would think, is one of the key drivers. But Europe particularly, and, you know, we'll call out Braeburn as being, you know, the variety that we continue to redevelop because of its, you know, it's, if you like, the variety that's getting impacted the most in Europe.
Got it. Yeah, just on that that fruit size issue, which was just going to be my last and final kind of question, could you provide us with a bit of a steer about, I guess, from a fruit size mix perspective, what you think the lost kind of price realisation opportunity was there, and so I guess what the difference between kind of underlying price on a size like-for-like basis might be compared with what you'll realise with a smaller size crop this year?
It's a hard one to nail down. If you wanted to pick a number, and we haven't analysed it to that degree, but it might be a dollar a carton.
Well, okay, that's interesting. That's all from me. Thanks, Andy and Steve.
Thanks.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Adrian Albin with Craigs Investment Partners. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hey, Steve, just on the net debt, as we think about the year end, and if we just took your guidance, would you expect that to sort of come in at about 80 million? The net cash.
Net cash, yeah, that'd round about be right. I think you're round about right there.
Okay.
That implies cash of about 150, I think, and that's round about right.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Borland for closing remarks.
Yeah, well, thanks very much for participating in the call. We're obviously pleased with our half-year performance and made good progress on our strategy. And I guess whilst our business continues to produce excellent results, you know, we're pretty proud of what we've done, over the period since we've listed. And we're looking forward to, you know, keeping you updated as we make progress on our future strategy refresh. Thanks very much.